Hey, drama listeners, Dylan here. I am so excited about this episode that we have for you this week with Rod Cyrus, who is playing Harry Houdini in the lavish, lush, wonderful production of Ragtime that is now at Lincoln Center Theater in New York. It's only running through early 2026, so you need to get your tickets. I know I cannot wait. It is at the top of my list for when I finally make it back to New York next month, actually. Okay, so here's the thing. Connor and I are about to enter, believe it or not, year six of drama. As in, 6 years ago this week, I was uploading our first ever teaser episode, getting ready with our original podcast art at the end of October 2019, when we launched at the beginning of November of that year. What a journey it has been over these last 6 years. And in honor of this special milestone anniversary for the podcast, Connor and I have something very fun and very special planned to celebrate 6 dramatic years. You have to follow along on our social media, as well as check out our Patreon, where everyone there is going to get the first scoop on what exactly is happening next month. And on that note, if you want to be the first to find out this dramatic secret that we're hiding, you have to check out our Patreon. It's $5 a month. You're supporting the podcast. And I mean it when I say, we would not have been able to keep this podcast running without our incredible Patreon family. We call them the Drama Fam, who have been giving us their finances, their time, their feedback over the last 6 years. It has paid for our website. It has paid for microphones. It has paid for so many podcast-related things. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. And we are eternally thankful. We truly thank our lucky stars for the community that we've been able to build through this podcast. I digress. We'd love for you to support us as we head into the sixth year. The link is below, like it always is. You're also going to be added to our Instagram close friends. And you get two bonus episodes a month where we spill even more tea, as we like to say. And it would just mean the world to us. So check all of that out below. And at the same time, let this episode with Rod Cyrus play. It is delightful. Connor and I are just so lucky that we get to have guests like Rod who come on the podcast, meet us where we're at, are down for the drama, the fun, all of it. All right, I could go on and on and on, but let's just get on with the show.
Press play. Curtain up and now we're in. It's time to take a spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, I am obsessed with something, and I cannot believe we have not talked about it on the podcast yet because we've recorded so many episodes over the last few weeks. Do you know what I'm going to say?
No, I really don't. Because you just recently told me that you come with this little list of potential topics that sometimes
Oh,
get
yeah.
pushed to the wayside. And so I'm imagining it was something you wanted to talk about sooner.
Yeah, the kiss of the Spider-Woman.
Mm.
I was obsessed. I loved it, loved it, loved it. It was so good, especially the two leading performances.
Yeah.
And J-Lo, incredible.
Well, of course. Listen, I'm confused though. Is it out now? Like, I know that it was in theaters. It's a Netflix movie though, right?
I don't think it's Netflix. I think it's theater.
Okay, maybe I'm just confused with the way that like release models happen these days,
Yeah.
but for some reason I thought it was going into theaters for a few weeks and then going on to Netflix. And so that's why Hunter and I rushed to see it because I wanted to watch it on the big screen.
Yeah. Wait, what did you think? Did you love it?
It was not at all what I was expecting, I will say, but I did love it. I thought it was very interesting. And when it ended, I was like, wow, they really balanced the two different worlds really well, like the old Hollywood movie musical versus the very dark prison, which how did you do? I know you don't handle prison content well.
No, I don't. Okay, well, I don't love when something's not about prison and then becomes about prison.
Yes,
That's
yes.
my like weird ick about it. Like if in like season four of a TV show, one of the characters goes to prison the whole time, you're like, wait, what? But I loved it. I thought the prison scenes did go on a little long, drag just a little bit. I would have tightened it up, but I thought they had great chemistry. J-Lo was incredible. I just loved it. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was
Yeah.
amazing. I think people should go see it.
I agree. And, I will say, I'm a huge awards gay. We both are. J-Lo, love her. I don't think this is the Oscar that everyone's hoping it is for her.
I think it's definitely a nomination, right? A Golden Globe, a SAG.
Okay. Okay, Golden Globe. If anything, it would have been Hustlers. I really think years ago that would have been the moment
I
for
know.
as Miss Ramona, right? Was that her name?
That's right. That's such a funny name to give her. No, she was great in Out of Sight. She's great in Made in Manhattan.
Oh yeah. The Wedding Planner.
Monster in Law, The Boy Next Door. Oh, LOL, just
No,
kidding.
we don't talk about The Boy Next Door. But the idea of it being a revival, because I believe there was like this Ariana DeBose revival that was kicking around and
Yeah, there
even before the
was.
movie. I'd be curious to see a stage production. I think that's my biggest takeaway because obviously the movie, they were able to toggle it really well in the film, but I heard they cut a lot of the songs between the cellmates and there
Right,
was just a
all
lot
the prison
removed.
songs. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I know. I would love to see it. I mean, we love a revival.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
We
We
love
do
a revival
love
around
a
here.
revival, and there is one on Broadway right
Especially
now.
Selena Gomez's album Revival, but I'll get to
Well,
that later.
yes. Well, no, we do, and there's a revival right now that I mean, I don't know if there's a show I'm more excited for this season. There, except for maybe another revival that's happening this
You're
season,
the
but
revival queen,
yes.
for real. But no, I'm so excited. I saw it at New York City Center last year, and in a few short weeks, we'll be seeing the Broadway version of the show. But we've got one of the stars on the pod today. All right, y'all. Our guest today is making his magical Broadway debut at Lincoln Center Theater in the revival of Ragtime as Harry Houdini. He previously took on this role at New York City Center, where he also appeared as Giuseppe in The Light in the Piazza. You'll recognize this Iranian, English, Irish, Welsh, Italian, American actor from his television appearances on Elsbeth and The Equalizer, and can see him in the upcoming 72 Hours on Netflix, Doctor Doctor on Apple TV Plus, and multiple award-winning short films. He previously led the workshop of the new play Leave to Remain, directed by David Cromer at the Atlantic Theater Company, as well as recently appeared as Don Juan in Valor at the Guthrie Theater and Eddie in Mamma Mia at the Hollywood Bowl, directed by Kathleen Marshall. This multi-talented performer has developed new plays at New York Theatre Workshop, Roundabout Theatre Company, the Signature Theatre, the McGarter Theatre, and many more. Oh yeah, and he also has an MFA from Juilliard. We are prepared to be amazed by this man. Please welcome to drama,
Rod
Rod
Cyrus.
Cyrus.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Rod. How are you?
I'm well. I've never heard my bio read out loud. It's so alarming. When you read it out loud, I was like, oh my God, I've worked so much. I've done so much stuff.
You're a star.
For me, it's the inclusion of all of your background, your familial heritage.
Well, I mean, I put that there because it was like, such a part of my life. I was like, I don't think he can do that. I don't think he can do that. And I'm like, do you want to read my ancestry DNA, like a blood test? Because I am truly everything. And so it's like a fun card I like to whip out any moment someone's like, because the dream for me is like as chameleon-like of an actor as possible. Giuseppe, I had to learn Italian. Houdini's like Hungarian, you know what I mean? And I have an accent and all of these different things. So it's fun to play different stuff.
You literally
Well,
do.
combining your ancestry.com, as you said,
Yeah,
I mean, is that not the
exactly.
American dream now that here you are on Broadway?
Totally. I like to think so.
Yes.
Now, wait, I need to know, where can we credit the eyebrows from? These legendary brows, Rod.
Oh, they're Persian.
Yeah.
They're like, this is the Iranian in me. It's like threading every 2 weeks.
Sure.
Or I have, like, I would be on this podcast and this spot would just like, it just continue.
Do you get it like on all around, under, above?
No, well, I used to. I've changed it. I used to do the underneath too, but now I just don't ask her to do underneath and we just do the top and the middle.
Good,
Nice.
because
when Connor and I do our underneath, we just end up with all these little like scratches and
Well,
scars.
you guys have fantastic brows.
That's what our
Thank
mom always says.
you.
She says, you got it from me.
You have a slight natural arch. It's very nice.
I
Thank
also
you.
go
Thank
every
you so
2 weeks.
much. Hey, that's actually.
I get lots of like light hairs all around,
Okay.
and I'm kind of like, I don't know if I want them all there, but thank you.
Totally. You're welcome.
Anyway, wait, Rod, we jumped
I
in, kind of, per usual.
could talk about eyebrows for a very long time. So,
Congratulations on your Broadway debut, and we're finding you at this
thank
really
you.
exciting moment. Are you well?
I am well. I think I'm really well. Well, to me, is not like, oh my God, I'm like smiling all the time, but well, to me, is like, when I actually get more quiet and reflective, and like gratitude is a thing that's like seeping more in the forward of my mind. And I miss my people that I love because all of my friends are like off filming. My girlfriend's in LA filming something. I miss her. You know what I mean? And it's like, at the same time, I'm like, I miss all my people. So yeah, I feel very grateful that everybody's like doing great things and the show's magical. And so I feel more reflective rather than like,
Yes.
you know.
Your girlfriend, was she able to see Ragtime though?
She came to our first preview
Okay.
because I was freaking out. I was like, I need someone who I trust to like come and see what I'm doing. And then she, 2 days before our opening night, booked a TV show in LA. And so she couldn't come to my opening. And I had to, I brought my best friend, which was amazing. But it was like one of those things of like, oh my God, dating an actor is so hard because I can't be like, don't take the TV job. You have to go take the TV job. But selfishly, I'm like, oh,
You should be here for my
sucks.
opening.
You
Yeah.
should be here for my thing. Yeah,
Wait,
exactly.
what can you say what the TV job is or
Yeah, she's on that show Running Point on
Oh
Netflix. So she
yeah.
was in one episode and then they were like, come back and can you please be in two more? And so that's like very good, you know. And so the
Wow.
money's good, you know what I mean? So it's like you have to do it.
I love.
Is that gonna happen for you with Elspeth? I mean, I have to say I've only watched season one. I'm behind on season two, so.
I wish it would happen with Elspeth, but everybody, it's so Elspeth's like formula is that you're in one and it's weird if you're in
Yes.
more than one, other than if you're like a series regular on it.
I know. I think Laura Benanti is the only person who's gone back for more on that show.
Yeah, like it has to be. Yeah, but that was my first TV thing and doing it with on that show. That show was so fun
So
to
fun.
be on. Like, it's just such a great group of people. Yeah, it was such a good time.
I know. I'm eager to get into season two. It's like the
Yeah.
best because it's all theater guest stars.
It is. It's like, it really feels like it's like that in Gilded Age feel
Yeah.
like, oh my God, I've seen you in every Broadway thing ever.
Yeah, I need you in Gilded Age next. And I feel like there's a way to make it happen.
I'm
Yeah.
trying.
Yeah, listen, listen. It's
Listen.
gonna keep going. It's a hit now,
It
so
is
it's
a
gonna
hit.
keep going.
Well, actually, what's really funny about Gilded Age, so I do like, I'm a part of a loop group, like ADR. So, you
Oh.
know, like what that is like the background of a TV show. Sometimes, you know, they need different sounds. On this new season, the guys who like rein in the horses going like, whoa, girl, that's me.
Stop.
Isn't that crazy?
Wait, did you watch the new season?
No.
Oh, okay. I was gonna give you a spoiler.
Well, I watched it because I'm watching it in the room in silence. And they're like, okay, Rod, so you're that horse wrangler guy. And then in this next scene, Rod, you're the butler who walks from the back to the kitchen. So then I'm like, five napkins to the table, ma'am. Like,
That's
that's,
crazy.
I know.
Well, you know, there's a pivotal scene with horses and a carriage this season.
Oh. I do know. Of course I know that.
Yeah.
Yes. Very pivotal. I'd be like, ah!
Wait, I've actually never heard the term loop group. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah. Well, so a loop group is like a group of people that per episode, this man runs a loop group, like group of people who he sort of picks and chooses who they need for what episode. Like if it's at a party with a bunch of, you know, on Gilded Age, for example, I remember one episode, there's just like a bunch of women at like a women's party. So then there's like, they'll bring in more women over the age of 50 to
Sure.
sort of like be the background voices. And so then what we do is we watch the TV show, or they've pretty much watched it before us, and they go, okay, so you see those two people in the corner at that party, like you two get up and you're in a giant room and there's a projector, like it's like a small movie theater, and you're watching the show, and then there's one microphone in the middle of the room, and you have to go up in front of everybody and like in silence, it'll go 3, 2, 1, quiet. And then you just mouth alongside the person who's like in the background.
This is like television magic because I never knew this was a thing.
I didn't know it was a thing either. And then someone was like, you know, do you want to do this? And I was like, and they told me how much they were getting paid doing it. I was like, absolutely. I will gladly do that.
You become a member of SAG for doing it, or?
I was already a member of SAG, but yeah, you get paid.
Yeah.
It's a SAG job.
Wow. That's incredible.
So I did that show. I did Gilded Age and then I did Etoile, which was that ballet show. They asked me to do it too because of, I know Lincoln, you know, school
Yeah.
was across the street from Lincoln Center. And so I actually ended up playing some of my friends who are in the background, like as the dancers, literally, because they're walking out of rehearsal and I'm just like, oh, like I did not nail that turn or like whatever.
Wait, so are they giving you lines? I'm sorry we're focusing on this for a second, but
No,
Connor and I are
no.
obsessed with ADR in general. We,
Obsessed. Yeah.
whenever it's bad ADR in a TV show, Connor and I are always like, oh, that was definitely added later.
Yeah, no, it's been a fascinating eye-opening part to like, there's so many things that make, you know, film and TV work that I wouldn't even think this
Yeah.
was a job. And then it paid my rent. So I'm very grateful for it.
Amazing. I am curious because obviously you're starring in Broadway now, you're
Yeah.
doing these TV jobs, doing, you're in a loop group. I'm wondering like what the dream was
Oh.
when you first got into the performing arts, which I guess we could kind of talk about that moment too when you got into it, if it's like all involved, but we call it Ring of Keys on this podcast because we borrow that moment from the musical Fun Home where a character has a moment of recognition that leads to this identity discovery where she's like, oh my God, wait, I see that for me. I need that to be a part of my life. That is my life. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment?
Yeah, I mean, the first time I fell in love with it was that my grandma, who doesn't speak English, she only speaks Farsi. She had two VHSs, and they were Titanic and Robin Hood Men in Tights, and which are just so different. But there's something about those were the two movies. I didn't speak English until I was four, and these are like the movies that I grew up like, which is crazy. I was like one watching Titanic, but it was like if I combine those things, I feel like that's what made me. And my mom loves to tell this story that like I was in kindergarten and the fifth grade musical was The Music Man, and we got there late, and so it was in the cafeteria, and I had to sit in the window that like the cafeteria ladies give you your like thing. I was sitting in that, and my mom said I pointed at that and was like, I want to do that. There's something about, I don't know, the costume box. I don't know if you guys had like that growing up. There's just like a box where your mom or dad put all of your things, and putting on shows in the costume box was like such a, oh my God. Like any time I was bored, it was like, oh, okay, well, duh, I have to pull out this costume and just like pretend to be this person now.
Wait, that's so
Yeah.
cute. And where did you grow up specifically?
I was born in Boston and my extended family is all there, but I grew up mostly near like San Jose, like Bay Area, San
Oh,
Francisco.
okay. And are you an only child?
No, I have a younger brother.
Was he forced into the costume box as well?
He was forced into it by me, 100%, but he's an electrical engineer and works in space stuff now, so.
Hell yeah.
Well, what's so funny is like he actually naturally, I think, had a better singing voice than I did, just like the way that people are like, you know, he was in choir and was in musicals, and I was like, oh my God, he's not pitchy. I am. But there was something about like, I don't know, I just didn't, the bug didn't bite him as much, I guess.
That's so interesting. So, what made you want to come out here? Well, I guess the answer is Juilliard, probably when you moved to the city, right?
Well, no, actually. So I went to UCLA for my undergrad, and I was living in LA. I graduated, and while I was still in school, I booked Mamma Mia at the Hollywood Bowl, which is like the Hollywood Bowl musicals are like the big things in LA. It felt, and I was a speaking part, like Eddie has like, you know, what, 10 lines or something. And I was like, oh my God, it's this celebrity cast. Kathleen Marshall's directing. I was like, this is my moment. And I invited everybody I knew in LA, and like none of the industry people really like cared. Not to throw drag anybody, but it was just, it felt like not the way that I thought it was gonna feel. And so I was like, this is what theater in LA feels like. I need to figure something out. And so I just came to New York, and then I booked The Hunchback of Notre Dame at the Argyle Theater in Babylon, Long Island. And as I was doing that, I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to be doing something else. And I was like, what's the one thing I haven't tried? Grad school. And then I didn't tell anybody and just auditioned and got in. And then I was like, oh my God, now I have to decide. Like, it really was crazy.
Wow. It was MFA in acting, right?
Yeah, 4 years long.
Juilliard itself is, that's crazy. Do you feel like that carried around like a little bit more weight for people?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that was when my parents started to take me seriously. I think that's when, you know, 'cause he could tell his like friends who don't really understand anything about theater and be like, my son, you know, or tell his like American friends, and he would be like, and they'd be like, that's like the Harvard of acting schools, and people would be like, and he'd be like, Harvard, my son? Like, you know what I mean? It's just was such a like proud moment for them. And then I think for me too, it really was like, oh, this is the kind of actors I always grew up like wanting to be. Really, at the end of the day, were the people who studied and really cared about craft, and like the way that they speak in interviews is like about the work. And so I just felt like it was like, oh my God, I finally feel aligned in myself.
And was it a positive
Interesting.
experience?
Yeah. I know everyone wants me to like drag it, but like I mean, obviously there's totally stuff to drag about it, but I really, it was just the best thing that ever happened to me. It felt like my life was here, and then after I did it, my life was here, and I don't know how else to frame it other than like you kind of go through life and then, you know, you keep finding your bliss and finding your people. And then when you end up something like that happens, I'm like, oh my God, these are my people. Everything felt like affirmed in a way. So yeah, it was really good.
Remember in High School Musical 3 when Miss Darbus was like, Juilliard's interested in coming to the final showcase, and they're only choosing, was it like one of them or whatever? But then like three people got in.
It's so crazy when in other media, like when Juilliard's name dropped, because this is so funny. One time I was wearing a Juilliard sweater on the airplane, and this has happened actually multiple times. Flight attendants know what Juilliard is like so intensely because a lot of them were like ex-dancers. So I remember literally like wearing my hood, being like, it's like 8 in the morning. I'm like, I don't want to be getting on this plane. And like, oh my God, it's like step up. I'm like, and then I get free stuff. This is multiple times. I get free food. I get free. And they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm an actor. Like, oh my God. They're like, it's so funny. So yeah, I think it's in Step Up. There's also, it's in High School Musical. Like they name drop it. It's very funny.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because everyone knows what Juilliard is, but it's like
Yeah.
maybe we don't exactly, it's just part of the culture that we don't even maybe necessarily remember when it was introduced to us.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of like lore around it or like mystique. Yeah, but it's just a bunch of people who are normal, actually, which is what it was so shocking to me. You know, when I auditioned, I thought it was going to be like black turtlenecks and like, I mean, there are black turtlenecks, don't get me wrong, but it's like, it's not as like, I don't know, wanky as I assumed it to be. It's, yeah, just a bunch of people like, it, you know.
Sure. Do you feel like they set you up for what was going to happen next?
Really good question. When it comes to like as much as a school can do, 100%, but there is nothing, and people will lie to you, like there is nothing that can prepare you for 8 shows a week. Just literally because you can't, like you're in school. And so, you know, I feel like I've gotten the tools and stuff to be like, okay, this is how to do a warm up so that you can speak, but like literally nothing can prepare you for the stamina. And you know, I mean, I'm not singing Cole House every night, you know what I mean? Like that's another level of difficulty. And so yeah, I mean, they definitely did when it comes to like when you have the part, what to do with it. But yeah, my God, it's been the biggest lesson is just like how to do 8 shows a week.
I cannot even imagine. Whenever I'm like watching a matinee, I always think they have to do this again tonight. Because we go through it as the
Same.
audience, you know, watching,
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I have to do this. I have to do this again. Thank
And
God. Like,
tomorrow, twice.
and tomorrow. I mean, it's like the best job, but it's like there's something like Groundhog Day-y about it that you have to like. I've never done a run longer than like 3 weeks. Do you know what I mean? So this is like truly, I'm like, oh my God, someone, thank God I have a dresser. My dresser, Billy, who I adore, is the one to be like, Rod, this is when you put this costume on. Cause my brain is like, wait, I don't know what to do. My brain just goes crazy.
I'm sure, because you're like, wait, didn't I just do this? Or did I do
Didn't
this
I just do
already?
this? Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so you're playing Harry Houdini, and all Ragtime productions are different. Sometimes they'll have Harry double in other scenes. Is your track just specifically Harry Houdini, or are you kind of all over the place?
I am not in the baseball number, if that's what you're asking. Me and John Clay, who plays Booker T. Washington, and Anna Grace, who plays Evelyn, we sit back there and we are aware that it is as princessy as princess tracks get. Like, I don't think there's so much to say about this process, but I really think the biggest one is that so much of this is so amazing and not normal. And I need to just know that it takes someone to be like, by the way, it's not normal to like be a principal on your Broadway contract in this theater and come on and have the princess track of all princess tracks. Like, it's so amazing.
Well, I mean, Lincoln Center, La Vivian Beaumont in itself is a rarity compared to the other historic venues in New
Yeah.
York.
Yeah.
And the dressing rooms are so bougie and
So
nice.
bougie. I have a bidet. Oh
Oh
my God.
my
Wait,
goodness. That's nicer than my
do you share
apartment.
or do you have I share a dressing room with Colin Donnell, who plays the father.
Gaggy. Oh my
The
God.
Colin Donnell. I know. I
That's
know.
crazy.
We're recording the cast album this weekend. And so we were talking about cast albums, and he was like, yeah, I don't know. He said something about it. And I was like, I need to come clean, Colin. Like, DeLovely is I grew up listening to you. That Anything Goes album is just like, I remember being in high school and that being like oh my God, it was like that cast album and that video of like You know what I'm talking about? Of the rehearsal of Anything Goes in that. I think it's just on. Yeah, it's like the lights aren't even on. It's like a rehearsal footage of them doing the tap number at the end of Act One. And it's just like, I remember it's being like, I want to do that. And now sharing a dressing room with him is just, that's what I'm saying. It's things like this that are like, what, Rod, pinch, someone pinch me. Like, this is crazy.
Well, going back to when you were in the show at City Center, I mean, what a crazy time. First of all, in general, everyone was hungry for ragtime for starters, period. The cast is unbelievable. And then the performances are happening around the election last year. So there are audiences who saw it the week before Trump got elected, and like audience members like me who saw it, for example, the day after Trump won the
I can't believe you
election.
said his name on this podcast, Mike.
I
I
know.
can't believe
I'm
you never said
sorry.
his
Get
name.
out. I never normally do. I'm always just like that motherfucker. But
Smart as
anyway,
fuck. Yeah.
tell
Yeah.
literally, tell me about that experience from a year ago, basically.
If I could go back in time, like I think a brilliant business venture or like just something to wish could have been done is a reality show of rehearsing that show during that time and then the performing it the week before and the week after. I just think a reality show of like backstage and the audience. It felt like an episode of Black Mirror, if I'm being honest, because there was something about doing this show, like Kamala's slogan was like, we're not going back. And the song is fucking back to before. Like, it just was this like wild, wild thing. I mean, it still is now, unfortunately, but it just still feels like it was written a day ago or that morning they put that new song in. You know what I mean? So the first week, I just remember the spirit of it was like, you know, you felt the buzz in the audience and everyone was like, oh my God, like it's ragtime at City Center. Like, also, City Center is just like my favorite place to perform. Ever. I don't know if you've been in the balcony, if you've ever sat up there. It's like you feel like you're gonna fall over. It's so tall. And so the first week was like that. And then the election happened. And the second week, it was truly like crickets in the audience, this somber feeling. And then mid-show, like four standing ovations. Do you know? Like it just was like, it's so clear that people needed it so badly. And I think in that moment is when I really realized, like, you know, I remember my teachers always saying this thing of like, acting is an act of service, you know, theater is an act of service. And I just was like, yeah, like, I get that. But then there was something about all I wanted to do that week was cry. All I wanted to do was mourn. But this is my job is so that you guys can come and then y'all can mourn, you know? And then I have to do it in therapy the day after. But like, you know what I mean? It's like, but it is something about it's so clear right now that I think it's just brilliant artistic direction, Lear, to pick this play to be the thing that the world needs right now and that New York needs right now.
How are audiences responding to it now, a year later?
Honestly, the same. I mean, because right now, I think as a society, we're so in tuned with like what's going on in the world. Like, you know, you just open your phone and you're like, this is what's going on, this is what's going on. That I think there's just no way to divorce what you see in the news with like the message of the show or like what is going on and what you see on stage. But yeah, I mean, people are losing their shit. It's like, it's the same thing. It's like four standing ovations every night. And then the way that the Beaumont is set up, you can see people. Like, it's not this dark void. It's not City Center where there's just like, I feel all of these like teens freaking out and like this balcony. But like, you really are looking at people and you see them not okay and holding each other. And it's like, I'm doing a lot of direct address. So I'm s truly staring at, and I'm like, we're having a conversation right now. I can directly see you. So it's just, it feels like we're all holding each other.
Wow,
That is so
that's so
beautiful.
special. I
Yeah.
can't wait to come. I
I'm
can't wait to
so
come.
excited for you guys to come.
Do you have a favorite moment in the show, whether you're in it or not, that you look forward to hearing or seeing every night, sometimes afternoon?
Yeah, I don't think it hit me until this version that I think Wheels of a Dream is the greatest love song ever written. Because I mean, this is just my belief about what love is that like this couple is dreaming together. And I think there's something, you know, there's love songs that are like, I love you love me, I'm confessing my love. I think that's one kind of love song, and that's amazing. And then I think there's another love song to know, I love you so much, and you're my person, and that's, we know that. And like, let's dream together about what our child's life can be. And they're playing pretend with each other. They're like, maybe we go to California. Maybe we go see your family. Maybe, oh my God, my son will. And so, like, the way that it's staged too, like, the different, like, just to say a little bit on the difference between City Center and our version is like, there's, it just has to be different because we're not doing it on a proscenium. Like a proscenium stage is like, you know, it's just there and the audience is there, but we have a bit of a thrust and it's like a semicircle setup at the Beaumont. So everything had to change because the pictures, you can't just sit, stand there. Like people won't be able to see. So there's something about the momentum and the use of space, even in a duet like Wheels of a Dream, that just feels like we've seen the version where they're standing next to each other, just looking out. And there's like this version where it's like, oh my God, what about our baby? And they're playing around and moving with each other. And it just feels like a couple daydreaming about their child's life. I don't know what, I mean, I have chills because it's
Me
just, I see it every
too.
night. I hear it every night because it's just, I just think it's truly one of the best things ever written. Not to hype it up, but.
Well, not at all. Not at all, right? Okay, so you mentioned you're a Colin Donnell fan. Anyone else in the cast that you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in a Broadway show with them?
Bruh, it's everybody in this cast. Like, it's just, it feels like, I remember someone saying, it's like, what is the phrase? Fantasy football, something. I don't play any sports.
Sure.
But something of like, you kind of pick like the greatest musical, living musical theater actors right now. Like,
Like a fantasy draft, I think is what it would be.
fantasy draft. Thank you. But it's like, Josh is tapping on some like spiritual level thing. Like, it's like when an actor is destined, like it's just there's really no words for someone matching their complete potential with a role that's like so written for them. And then Casey on top of it too is like Broadway it girl right now. I mean, she's like so, and like the fact she's taking on these mom roles now, I mean, she's so stunning and her voice is obviously insane, but like she's finding humor and nuance in a role that I think can feel very stiff sometimes. And then Brandon is like, Tata is just, I just look at him every day. I mean, I kind of confessed this to him on like opening night. I was just like, you're so clearly an actor who can sing and you're so interested in story. And I'm so like, I just look up to him so much.
Oh, he's one of our greats.
Yeah. And with all three of them, I really feel like I'm just so spoiled. And so I spend a lot of time just watching, you know,
Oh my God, I would be
because
too.
I'm learning. It's like a ma free master class every
Yeah,
day.
that you get paid for.
And I get paid for it. And I get to use a bidet. So, like, I have really nothing to
So
complain.
luxe. Oh my God, I love it. Wait, I got a question. How did you meet your girlfriend?
Juilliard.
Oh, okay.
Baby, bringing people together.
We were in the same class. I mean, they warned us. They were like, don't date your classmates. And we were like, yeah. And then, like, week one, we were like at a party, and one thing led to another. But then it was like, then she was like, I love you. And I was like, no, what? You're no, like, I had just gotten out of a relationship at the time. So I was like, I really like, no. And so then it was 2 years of like, I want you. No. Like, but we were really good about it. Like, I don't think the our class knew, and like our, it wasn't like the whole school was like, oh, these two. Like, we were very private about it. But then I guess a very funny story is like, we won free tickets to this Deadline event. Like, Deadline had like a movie premiere sort of thing, and they were doing a talk back and they were doing a raffle. And so I texted Stella, is my girlfriend's name. I texted her, I was like, you should come to this thing. And she comes, and they gave everybody raffle tickets. And throughout the day, they were raffling off like a pair of sunglasses or a bottle of whiskey. And then at the end of the day, they're like, now we're raffling off our grand prize, which is the 5-night stay at the Four Seasons in Maui. And they're like, everybody have your tickets out, six. And I look over at her and she's just sitting like this. I'm like, where is your ticket? She's like, nobody wins this shit. And I was like, just look for it. I was like, check your back pocket. And she does. And they call out her number. And so she was like, well, you told me to come to this thing. So do you want to come? So our spring break, our 3rd year of school, was at the Four Seasons where they filmed the first season of White Lotus.
Yeah.
And so it's the two of us, like, literally, I'm not kidding, running around that lobby being like, we won this in a raffle. And then we kind of fell in love, like, in Maui, because I think there was something about, I was so fearful that we were just like trauma bonded and like this drama school little like love affair.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've been together officially for like almost 4 years now. So
Wow.
yeah, but that Hawaii trip was like, Pretty amazing. I mean, just felt it was like the year after COVID. It was so clearly that it was like, oh my God, this is magical.
That is
That's so
so cool.
amazing.
And I love too that there was a foundation, a friendship first.
Totally. I mean, also too, we talk about this all the time. And I mentioned this when I was like, I really wanted her at first preview. Like, she is my most trusted, like, artistic partner. Like, we not only do all of our self tapes together, but at the same time, it's like I'll see her show and then we have an hour long like walk afterwards. And it's like, what about that moment? Did you get like, did that word, like, did you get the operative of that sentence when I said that? Or like, did you feel like I was in my legs enough in that scene? I felt sometimes like we really, you know, because that's the basis of our relationship is like classmates. So it's very special to have that color as well.
Yeah, it's a true partnership.
That's so sweet. What show do you two dream of doing together?
Oh my God. Well, we always fantasized about doing Venus and Fur at school, which
Oh.
is a play. It's a two-hander. And I just think she'd be so great in that. But also, we got free tickets, I don't know, a month ago to see The Little Shop
Oh,
off
yeah.
Broadway. And she has a great voice, but she's not sitting around being like, I'm a musical theater singer. She's like an actor who can sing. And she never heard, she didn't know the show at all. And when Somewhere That's Green happens, I look over at her and my girlfriend is like a mess. And she goes, that is one of the best songs ever written. And so then that night I came home and I was like, I need to show you Ellen Green. I need you to watch all of these little shop things. And so now she kind of has this little daydream, and so do I, of I think Little Shop would be really fun.
It's gonna
Oh,
happen. It's
I
definitely gonna happen.
love. I'm manifesting it.
Yes. Wait, so okay, going back, I saw an Instagram
Please.
post that you were in the Jimmy Awards.
I was worried it would come up.
Listen, to me, I feel like it's a badge of honor now. Like, it is such a thing.
It really is. I think like it's actually affirmative to talk about it because it actually was so fantastic and like I needed it so badly, but because I was so sick and just felt so like I was just the worst one. It's like just
Okay.
literally like not even my opinion, just truly the fact of it was that it was so clearly that I felt like because everyone was so good. Like everyone is I was in Eva Noblezada's year. Do you know what I mean? And it was like that's when the year before was Broadway or Bust, not to bring up that. Do you guys remember that? That they did
Yeah,
like a
I do not.
they did a reality TV
Oh,
show
with Ryan
of the Jimmy
McCartan. With
Awards the year before.
yeah.
And so it was like we were coming in, it was so like everyone was so good at it. I'm like, I don't even know how. And so there was something very like humbling, I think, because when you win your, you know, I was like, oh my God, I'm like won the Bay Area Award.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, I'm so good. And then you go to the country's best people and you're like, oh my God, I'm like other people can sing. And then, you know, that's when I think I really realized that I was like, oh, okay. And I guess that's like to full circle it is like when I got into Juilliard, I was like, oh my God, okay, this is what all along I'm an actor who can sing, but I'm not sitting here being like, let me riff my face off in a way that some musical theater people are like, give me a microphone. I'm like, I would prefer to do a monologue, a Shakespeare monologue. I feel I would love to do that and feel so much more at ease than I would with Sing Lost in the Wilderness from Children of Eden. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
that's really.
Oh my God, wait, that just reminded me of something. Selena Gomez, not to bring her up for the second time in one
She covered Lost in the
podcast.
Wilderness.
No. She was on the Kelly Clarkson show talking about how she's always been a little bit insecure about her music because she can't sing as big as Kelly, for example, or do like Whitney or Mariah, et cetera. And Kelly was like, no, like what makes your artistry special, or like what makes artists special in general, is if you can move people and if your music really moves them, like doing what you do best and moving them is like the way you should rank, fulfillment with performance. I thought that was so nice. I think about that all the time because like in, riffing culture, TikTok or whatever, when people are watching these crazy videos of people singing, like, yeah, that's amazing, but it's also great or even better to just hear a song performed so well or beautifully or in this really moving way,
Well, I think at the end of the day, like everyone's gonna have their taste, and I'm just really like a proponent on you know, I mean, this podcast, why I love it is so much you guys talk about culture, and I'm always so curious, like, what is culture? And we actually get to shape culture. Like, that's what's really cool about it, is that we're able to do that. And this is actually a conversation I have with Josh backstage all the time, is that I look at him and I'm like, I want to, if I'm gonna sing, I want to sound like you. And the way that he's embraced his baritone, and it's because, you know, when I said before, I was like, my life before Juilliard felt like here, and then afterwards was here. Literally before, it was like, I need to sing like Jeremy Jordan and Aaron Tveit, and if I can't, I should just quit. And then when I got into Juilliard, I was like, oh my God, all along, the actual people I grew up listening to was like Mandy Patinkin, who went to Juilliard. But I'm like, oh my God, it's George and Sunday in the Park. It's not like Jack Kelly and Newsies. That's not me. And that's like, I love the song Santa Fe. I love Disney, don't get me wrong. But I'm just sitting here kind of being like, what am I? What are the things I want to do? And when I look at my career thus far, it's like Light in the Piazza and Ragtime are like actually really musical musicals. Like, you kind of like, they're singing in these. And so I'm like, oh, it's not like I can't sing. It's just that there's something about what I'm interested in is like story and worlds and culture. And yeah, I'm less like, give me a microphone and let me like hit a B flat, because I'll have a panic attack.
Well, sure. I mean, I think that's extremely insightful. I really appreciate you explaining that too, because I think that there is such an aspirational element of like those particular Broadway guys you mentioned, that
Yeah.
everyone's trying to be them, or you know, and that's a lot of what the
Yeah.
Juilliard kind of is sometimes now too, is belting.
I just no, it's like, it's really great. And I think what you're saying too, it's like with the TikTok culture and like, you know, I do shows with younger people. It's like I hear them kind of like to me, I feel like, am I like an older generation that I really have a hard time with bootlegs? Like bootlegs kind of, I'm like, no, you gotta go to the theater, like, you know, but we also gotta make it accessible. And so I get it. But the younger generation is literally like, oh my God, I was listening to myself. I'm like, listening to yourself? I can't, what?
That's because they grew up on like so online with everything, you know, filming themselves
Yeah.
from the time they were in middle school. Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, I'm like, I haven't watched anything I've done on, I mean, on screen I do, because to me, I'm like, you know, that's the art form, is watching it on a screen. But on stage, I'm like, it's meant to be there. And then it lives in our memory, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm so curious just to see where it all goes. And I guess if I could convince or like make any young little artist out there just feel like they don't need to spend all of their life trying to hit that B flat, and just know that like speaking truth, like words truthfully, also you can have a career just doing that. And if you like singing, fantastic, but it's not just about how high you can sing.
Yeah.
I feel like I would feel so proud to have helped someone relieve themselves of that.
100%.
I think you absolutely will and are.
Thanks.
Oh my God, Rod,
Yeah.
we are sadly reaching the end of our conversation here.
I can't believe
Didn't
it.
we
I
just
can't believe
start?
it.
I'm pissed. I feel like we need to keep this going,
Yeah.
but before we say goodbye, we have to end with a dose of drama, which is that theater, that pop culture, that love, that life, that thing on your mind that you just have to talk about. You have to get it out. We're all going to share. Dylan, do you mind if I kick it off today?
Please.
So, y'all, I have been using my parents' Netflix account since inception, and they started booting everyone off years ago. But I've somehow gotten away with it. I think because my Apple TV device used to be there or whatever. So anyway, I've been able to watch Netflix on the Apple TV for years. Well, I was in the middle of episode 3 of the new series Boots on Netflix, and they realized that I was not in the household. So I'm at a tough moment. I'm feeling dramatic about this, right? I finally have to pay for Netflix, and I'm wondering, is the content worth it that's on there? And then I'm realizing, well, maybe it is, because that Victoria Beckham documentary is also on there now, and that House of Guinness show is on there. And I have some catching up to do on some of these series, but I'm so annoyed. Help. What do I do? Should I just like do it for a month and go off? I don't know. Help. I'm dramatic.
I think that that's a could be a good idea of like waiting until there's a bunch of things out there and you have like a period where you'll be able to watch it all and sort of tuning in and out in that
How'd
way.
they find
But kind
me?
of welcome to the club. I was booted a few years ago.
Are you a Love is Blind watcher?
I'm not. It's one of those
Okay.
reality shows I don't do, but do you watch?
Rare blind spot, yeah.
Well, I hadn't watched. I mean, I used to really watch, and then this is the ninth season,
Oh,
so I
wow.
can't believe that many. I know. So then for some reason I was like, oh, what are they up to? Like, let me start this new season. And my God, it's so crazy. It's just so crazy. It's like you're watching these people, God bless them, who like I feel like I know what they want to say, but they just can't. And therefore, it's just like a social, I mean, it is a social experiment, but it's this season is it's crazy. So if you're into it, but I get that you're not.
Everyone recommends it to us.
No, well, I just saw that. Well, that couple from the first season, Lauren and
Yeah, just
oh,
had
so
a
it
baby,
worked.
right?
It
They just
worked.
had a
It had a
baby.
baby.
It's very
It
sweet.
worked. Wait, I
It
saw,
worked.
I don't watch it, but it came up on my TikTok, this like video of them and their love story and how it's played out over the years. And I was like, they would have found them each other in any lifetime.
Oh,
They it was
100%.
from the jump. It was so
Yeah.
good.
I think this shows is so funny because on The Bachelor, I remember them being like, well, the new season is always like, I remember that one couple. I'm like, just if you do a percentage thing, like the odds of you, like there's like 4% of the people who actually end up staying together. So
Yeah.
I guess, off you go. Off you go.
Yeah, Bachelor is a proven failed experiment. Like it does not work at all. And I think that,
Do any of them though? Like, I love them, but like, I don't.
yeah, there are a few Love Island couples in the UK,
There's a
I
few
know,
Love
but
Island.
not in the US. So love is so vulnerable. You never
Wow.
know.
Love is so vulnerable. I know.
Should I go on? Love is blind. Anyway, Rod, do you feel like Love is Blind was your dose of drama?
No. And my dose of drama. Have you guys heard of Riverdance?
Yes, of course. We're Irish.
Of course.
I cannot put in words how much I think everybody needs to see it. I've seen it's my favorite thing on this planet. I've seen it almost 10 times. I saw it last year at Radio City. I've seen it at the theater where it started in Dublin. I have it memorized. Like literally when I watch it, I'm like, and that's the moment that there's a ah, and then they come out there and like it's the VHS. I mean, I literally have a Riverdance t-shirt and a Riverdance hat, like it and a Riverdance mug. I think the thing I just need to say about it is that it's not just Irish dancing. There's tap dancing in it. There's like Russian dancers in it. There's a flamenco section. Like it's of the world. And I just feel like the more that we learn to appreciate different cultures and the more that we learn from each other and go outwards and are curious. I think just that's what we need right now. And like ragtime for exactly, it's like three different worlds coming together. And I think Riverdance like finds a way to bring in so many different cultures. So please go see Riverdance.
Yes, I've never seen it.
That was so cute.
I want the world to be like Riverdance. Like I just think that it's meant to. It's also the best soundtrack. I listen to it when I work out. I'm not kidding. I am like I fangirl. It's just I'm obsessed with them.
I
Yeah.
love that so much. Was it named Michael Flatley? Was that his name who did it for him?
Michael
Yeah.
Flatley, look at
Yeah.
you. Yeah.
The Lord of the Dance, no?
He also did Lord of the Dance, yes.
Okay, see, we have a working knowledge.
Working
Knowledge,
you
I
do.
suppose.
I'm very
Yeah.
impressed.
Wait,
Very
Rod, I thought you
impressed.
were going to be like, do you guys know Riverdale?
Could you imagine?
Which, like, well, yeah, it's all
You would have been
seven
in good
fucking
company, just to be so honest. Like, we did watch it till the bitter end, but Oh God, that's really funny. No, unfortunately
different
not.
river,
Different
different G.
river.
I
Yeah.
want to give a quick dose of drama, and it's just, we said earlier you're on the Equalizer. I just need to know, were you in a scene with Queen Latifah? Connor and I are obsessed. We think she's
Oh,
goated.
yeah, my scene was with Queen Latifah. I mean, dude, that episode was so crazy. I found out, I'm not kidding. I found out the night before at 8 p.m. that I had to be on set at 7 in the morning the next day. They sent me and I had like a 2 minute scene, just me and Queen Latifah sitting across from each other at a table. And my whole thing, the setup is like someone sits with her and it's like, this is what's going on. And then she goes on the quest to like find them. And then at the end, they're like, look, I helped you find your sister who was locked up in a secret wrestling ring in jail. That was the episode.
I mean, that sounds like Riverdale now that we're talking
Yeah,
about
no,
it. But anyway.
right. And so, like, literally, I'm doing this scene that I had memorized the night before, and like this scene is just like, Queen Latifah's character going like yes, and then me being like, and then my sister was lost, and the da 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 da, and it's all of these like technical words. So I remember that being like, this is truly crazy. But she's so kind. She's so
Oh,
kind.
I
Yeah,
love that.
she was amazing.
I feel from the way you're describing the scene, it seems like they could have had, a double in that moment where you were just talking to like Someone else doing like background stuff.
Yeah, no, but it was the queen
The
herself.
queen herself. I love it.
Yeah.
Gosh, I didn't even get to talk to you about the other queen, Jennifer Nettles, who was in Mamma Mia with you. But listen, we're gonna have to connect in real life after we see
That
Ragtime
I'm here.
and get into it all.
You know where I'll be 8 times a week.
Yes,
I love it.
sometimes twice a day. Listen, Rod, this was so much fun. These are some of my favorite episodes where we're getting to know someone and you're just on our level and we're just able to really connect. So we really appreciate you taking
I
time.
so appreciate it. No, it's my pleasure. You guys are so I love all you do, truly. It's such great questions, and I just yeah, we get to shift culture, and like how fun is that?
It's the kind of the funnest thing. Everyone needs to follow you on Instagram at Rod Cyrus.
Thank you.
No relation to Miley.
I
Are you on TikTok or?
it's there. I don't know how to do it, but it's
That's
there.
fair. That's so fair. We are on TikTok. We're at the Drama Pod. We're also on social media at the Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, Rod. This was amazing. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama!
Drama.